Good day, ladies and gentlemen. We bring to you here yet another edition of our Revival podcast. I'm your host, as usual, Onya Onyedikachi, and with me is my co-host, Gabriel. However, today we'll be joined by a very good friend of mine, a very blessed man by God in wisdom and valor, and I've known him for a very, very long time. He's one of the most nicest person you would meet in this life, and he's very, indeed, he has cut across so many places and so many times. I'm talking about no other person than Mr. Peter Silas. Mr. Peter Silas, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. Please, could you just tell, you know, our listeners a little more about you? Because I'm very, very sure my description doesn't cut it.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate being here. I'm Mr. Silas Peter, and I'm a Nigerian. I'm a Christian, and I enjoy atmosphere like this. It gives me the opportunity to challenge my mind and also get to explore what we have around. So it's one of my hobbies. And also, I'm someone who loves to learn new things, and I'm open-minded, actually. And I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, that was it from Mr. Peter Silas. So today, we will be tweeting one of our questions as usual. This is a very, very, very controversial question, and you guys should be getting for a lot of information that is going to come through to you from this podcast. Please keep an open mind as usual, and always try to be critical in your listening. And remember that if you have any questions, you could always write those in the comment section or emails, and we'll be very, very willing to answer your questions. So, Gabriel, in John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Right, and then someone brings up a question and says, if God so loved the world, why would he send Satan, his own enemy, into the world? And the same person captures at the end of his question and said, wake up and stop believing senseless lies. Now, obviously, these are one of the people that, you know, attack biblical scriptures in order to prove their point of saying that it's awful. But if you look at it, one who is also not attacking biblical scriptures, who is trying to be critical or logical about the whole thing. I mean, if I had a beautiful piece of land, put a garden in it and stuff like that, I wouldn't definitely send robbers to go into that land to go and live or dwell, as the case may be, from someone who is being logical. So it's very, very controversial, and it makes sense to ask. So Gabriel, could you tell us, what do you think about this situation, that God loves the world and he still sends the devil to it?
The word sent is my challenge, because I don't think God was the one that sent him down here. It was so just in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 13, mm-hmm. that why the dragon was cast off from the heavenlies, and the angels begin to rejoice, and from there they begin to sing a song. The lyrics of that song made it so obvious that when the dragon was cast out from the heavenlies, the word dragon there is also another terminology used for Satan. Part of the song, so that song, was that they begin to say, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Now go unto the inhabitants of the earth, and of the seal of the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. Now, the key word there is come down. So, God did not send out of his own authority. He has to look for another place to occupy. Now, there are two places that God designed for occupancy. One, the heavenlies, these are places for spirits. The earth, these are places for man. God cast him from the original position is place where he used to stay, and that is where he is meant to live. Mm-hmm. That is the heavenlies, is a place where Lucifer used to live. That is his place of occupancy.
Okay.
Now that also will take me to another aspect of we getting to know who Lucifer is and who Satan is. They are two different things.
Okay.
Because he wasn't responsible for the creation of Satan. What he created was Lucifer. It was the falling of Lucifer is what brought him into that nature, which is known as Satan. That's okay. Another question.
So what you're saying is, just to cut you off a little bit, so what you're saying is Lucifer is actually Satan, but in a different state, if I'm getting you correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
God did not send Satan down here. unto us, but rather he came down out of his own, knowing fully well that he had been kicked out from his original position, from where he was meant to operate from. Then he has no option than to look for a place, knowing the kind of person he is. He's the kind of person that enjoys a place of authority. He has already conceived in his heart to exalt himself above the throne of God. So kicking him out with his pride and his ego, they really like to go and become something else. So he must look for another place. And there's no other place that he knows among us than the earth, which was meant for man. So, and the moment he came down here, he has to look for a way to regain a place of position, a place of authority. So the earth was given to the man, but man foolishly and ignorantly committed and legally handed over the authority and the dominion that was given to him over to Satan.
Good that you mentioned that, because I was about to ask you, since God had the power and everything, how come he now allowed him to take over? Well, you just answered the question. It's like God gave man the power to control, to rule over the earth and everything in it. And the call of man was what gave Satan or Lucifer the power to rule over the earth instead. So you actually did justice to the question. No, you are still saying something.
That's all for the second. Make room for
Okay, Silas, is there anything you would like to add to what he has said? No, something that as he was speaking you are enlightened by, or you would disagree with?
Thank you very much. Additional to what he has said, right, I'm actually in line with what he said, and that's where I'm going to actually talk from.
Okay.
I think the first thing you should understand is in the creation of this earth, God actually created earth and came in the earth and on the earth, and then he created man. God Almighty handed over this earth, this physical realm, because we have the physical and spiritual realm, so he handed over the physical realm to man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a man who has a garden, saying, Silas, this is my garden. I hand over the garden to you. You have authority over this garden. Take care of the garden and do whatever I want to do with the garden. The time would come that you would hand over the garden back to me, and then the man now leaves. I, Silas, now, let's say Gabriel now comes. No, let me know it's Gabriel. So it will not be like the devil. let me say, another person comes. Let's just say, I don't know. So I don't know comes. Mm. And he says, Silas, I know you like football. Silas says, yes, I love football. So he's like, okay, I have a ball I would like to give to you. Or if you would give me this garden. And then Silas now handed over the garden to him and collected the ball.
Mm.
So the garden and the ball, which one is more precious? Okay. Now let's go back. God gave authority to man to mind the earth and everything that is the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But man disobeyed God.
Because of apples.
Yeah, just because of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life.
Because of fruit.
He disobeyed God and he handed over the authority that was given to him, the devil, who is Satan.
Yeah.
And the implication of this is sin. In the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Whether of sin leading to death or of righteousness or of obedience leading to righteousness. So here we see that whoever you choose to obey becomes your king, becomes your head, becomes your ruler.
Yeah,
it was not God's intention. It was not
true.
God's
intention. It's a law.
Yeah, it's not God's intention to interfere with what he has created. He has already created the earth and everything in it, and he handed it over to the man, and it is not his intention to come and interfere with it. He rules over it, yes, but he has already delegated the responsibility of taking over and overseeing that. But the devil, because the devil is Satan is very crafty. He's very, very crafty devil. And then that craftiness was what he used to take over the authority from man. And this same Satan we're talking about here was the same spirit, because he's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So he cannot be destroyed the way a man will be destroyed. When a man dies now, his spirit remains, because the spirit cannot be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan, who is a spirit, in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, I mean, and the devil said to him, that's Jesus, he said to Jesus, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. You see now, and if you check the next verse, it says, verse 17, it says, therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours. That's it I'm talking.
Yeah.
And then verse 18, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and in
and only him you shall serve.
You shall serve. Now, if you observe, you see that Jesus did not dispute the fact that all authority has been given to Satan. From that time, he took over the authority from man. He collected the authority from man. So he can now come. Now, if no one, if he comes now, and if you come now and meet nobody and say, but this garden is for Silas. He will say, no, the garden is now mine because I handed over a ball to Silas. Silas is playing with the ball right now. So the ball is for Silas. The garden is for me. That's what nobody will say. And that's the reason, is because the authority has been handed over. At that time, when Silas decided to obey the command of nobody, he became a slave to nobody. So
yes,
the earth is created in such a way that the authority was given to man, but man traded it to the devil, that's Satan. And you can see, even the Satan, who knew Jesus was God Almighty. He knew Jesus was God Almighty. He was still trying to be tricky. You still try to apply these tricks on him.
Yes, that's true.
So for God so loved the world, yes, still God loved the world, but believe me, he did not allow Satan to come and start tempering and playing with the world. It was man
that did it.
After this man has given you the garden, he said, take this garden, take care of the garden. The garden is yours. Do whatever I want to do with it. But at the end of the day, you come and back to me. After the man says this, then he now goes, and then tomorrow he comes and tell you, remove that tree, I don't like that tree here. Take that tree away. It should be as if the man has still not given you total control.
Yes, it should be as if he has not given it to you. True.
God has given you total control over the earth. But man handed it over to the devil through disobedience. So whoever, so that was why Jesus came. He came so that we'll be redeemed, so that we'll be restored, so that authority which was lost from the beginning will now be redeemed. So as long as you are still outside Christ, you are still operating under the authority of the devil, because the world now is of the devil. The authority of the world is of the devil. But people will be saved in that you are still in this world, physical world, and so as I say, in this physical world, because this physical world is being operated and dominated by the devil. And now, the music industry, the movie industry, even the churches now, and this everywhere, like the presence of the devil is everywhere. But even with the presence of the devil being everywhere, there are people who are saved, who even in hell they will say, no, I stand for Christ, I stand for what is right, I stand for the truth. You know, these are people who have been saved. These are people who have been saved. So the authority, though we are in the world,
we are not of the world.
Before we were in the world and we were of the world because we were under the authority of the devil. In sin did my mother conceive me. You can see you were born in sin because of that first sin that Adam committed. But now Christ has come and we have life, eternal life. So he comes and he redeems us. He now gives us back, he restores back our authority. But now the authority that he has given to us. Is such that though we are in the world, we are not of the world. Because the world is not for men, it's not for men anymore. The world is of the devil now. And that's why you see a lot of things happening and it seems like nobody can talk. Why is God allowing these bad things happen? God didn't allow these bad things happen. There was an agreement that was made in the beginning. And then there was a pledge that was made later. God is such that he's not a man that he would like to
give you are not his word to the last.
He said, you are free. He gave it. Now, let me ask you a question. For God so loved the world, you can see the world there, Lord. Let me ask you, what would love be? If I say I love you now, and then I try to control you, do I love you? I don't love you. So how will I know that I love you? I love you when I give you free control. Do whatever I want to do. And then I will also love me in turn when you are able to do what is expected of you. So despite the fact that you know that I've given you free control, you will not try to kill me. So even though you have the power to kill me, you won't do it. Why? Because you love me. So that's where the love comes in. Okay. For God so loved the world, that whosoever, that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. So whoever believes in him now loves God in turn. Do you understand? He loves the world, so he sent his son. So whoever loves him back, we believe in him. That's why I said, if you love me, keep my command. The only way, you will see a lot of evil happening now. But believe me, as long as you are not saved, as long as you are not in the creation, that is, Christ is not in you. Because Christ is the redemption again. As long as that redemption is not in you, you are still under the authority of Satan. So,
true.
You can search a person now, you say, yes, Why? For God long don't suffer. If God long suffer, long this thing should be happening. That's why he doesn't really understand what love is. Love comes with free control. God gave us free will. Do whatever I want to do with it. But we must understand that Satan is also a spirit. Satan is a spirit. And God is allowing him for a time. God is just allowing him for it. But this world has been given to me by God. So God works with agreement. There's a covenant between God. There's a covenant. Sure. The covenant is that. Now the man who gave the garden will not come and say, give me back my garden. Nobody will say, you have to go through the man. No, I don't have any business with you. The business I have is with the man. Me and the man, we had a trade. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. This man, sure. And
the man really gave me this garden.
If God decides to forcefully take it, then it means that he doesn't honor agreements and he doesn't keep his word. Yeah,
now you get the point. But now remember, during the course of the agreement, the initial agreement, when the man was giving over the garden to Silas, he told him that I have given you full authority over this garden, but a time will come, I will come back and collect the garden.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Now, true.
A time will come, I will come back and collect this garden. Now, which this man will come back and collect, and garden over to the devil. For this man to collect the garden from the devil, the man Silas must pay for the agreement he already made with nobody that made the man who got the garden to nobody. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. And that's what God sent. That's what God sent Jesus. So Jesus is that price that is being paid. So Jesus is the price that is paid. He is the price that is paid on behalf of Silas. So the blood of Jesus is a legal tender in the spirit realm. So it is only the blood of Jesus that can be used to collect the world back from the hand of the devil. Now that's
speaking of blood as a tender, I think we'll have to one day talk about blood as a tender, because a lot of things have been said and been done with blood in the past and even in the present.
Yeah.
It's going to be a topic we'll treat sometime in the future. Blood as a tender, something you guys should look out for. It would really talk a lot and it could be packed. Sorry, continue what you were saying.
Yeah, thank you. So like I was saying, this blood, remember we used to hear the end time, God is massing an end time. The end time and the ones. Because you see this, the devil we are talking about, he's greedy, he's crafty, and he's really dominating. So he would never want to hand over this world back. So a time will come when the price for that football that was collected will be paid full. When that time comes, which Silas collected, you know, Silas already collected the football, right? And now he has collected the football, and let's assume the football is missing. And now for Silas to regain the authority, Silas has to return the football, but now the football is missing. That was why Jesus came. So Jesus is the price that is paid, the price of that football has been lost. So now the time will come. This devil will still not want to return the garden back. He will not want to return the garden. So you want to hold on to the garden. That's the essence of the end time. So when the time is right, when the price has been fully paid.
Sorry, you spoke about football and garden. They are the same example you're referring to, right?
Yes, that remember the garden we talked about. Mm-hmm. That was handed one to Silas by the man.
Yeah.
Silas handed the garden to the devil. That's nobody. Yeah. And then exchange for and now football is lost. And now for a man to regain authority of the garden, he has to pay the football back. But the football is missing.
Okay, hold on, Gabriel. So far, just hold. Don't forget what you are saying. But Gabriel, so far, do you flow with what he's saying, or do you have something contradictory to what he's saying?
Okay, some things I also need to bring in or to chip in a bit.
Yeah, just briefly, so that he reads on with his story. He gets to the end of his point.
I need just to understand the nature of the nature of man in the Garden of Eden, first of all, then and also mention history, the particular scripture, which is one of the first laws of the spirit, known as the laws of servitude, to whom you yield yourself to whom that you become a servant to. So that is what we call the laws of servitude. Now, what I wanted to point out is that God says that whatever he created, he is always subjected to trial. Okay. Whatever God created, he always subject them to trial. Even when God made the angels, the reason why the angels also, he gave them the power of choice. One of the greatest things that God gave to everything that he created act of love being expressed. His love was expressed by giving man the power of choice, just like he made the point that no man was created to be a robot, no angel was also created to be a robot. But the fact that every angel possesses a soul, that means an in soul. Soul is an expression of the mind, your emotions, and the bit of the will. The will, which is a department in the place of the soul of a man, is a bit towards the seat of decision making. All right?
Yeah, okay.
So that is one of the aspects that God has given to every man and every being and everything he created. That is one aspect of where God has expressed his love to his creations and to his creatures. So now God gave every one of them a soul. Now that soul is where these three things are being expressed. That's why every single being has an emotion to express, every single being has a will to express, and every single being has also their own intellect to express. Now, God gave angels their choice, and eventually it was through that power of choice that sin was now found in the heart of Lucifer. That is where the evil originated. God did not create evil, because that's what I want to bring. That's what I want to bring. God did not create evil. Evil was his origin through the power of choice.
And why we wait for him? Could you, like, you know, continue with what you're saying? Or do you have something to say to what he was saying, what he was mentioning already? Because I feel like he brought up some things that, you know, I don't know how it aligns with your own theory.
We are in line. The spirit is still one.
So yeah, true. Spirit is one.
Yeah, so whoever asked that question actually asked it from a logical perspective. However, it is important to know that the spiritual things cannot just be discerned by logic. It requires the need for grace. It takes grace.
Yeah, it takes grace. Actually, I think it takes grace not just to understand, but to grow conviction in what you are reading or what you're hearing or what you're sensing. Because even when you can prove something logically, because me, I'm a huge fan of not just telling you what the Bible says, but giving you real life evidences or real life proofs of what I'm seeing.
Yes.
You understand? I don't just quote something, but I can give you instances of where you can actually see this thing in real time, not in the Bible, not in those days, in real time. So, but the problem is, even when there are people that you meet and their hearts are so hardened and their mind are so locked up that no matter, Jesus Christ met some people like that. He called them brood of vipers. These people, no matter what you say, it will only take grace for them to actually accept the light, see the light in the first place.
Yes, and that was the reason why we should not give our pearls to dogs.
Yeah,
those are the people he was actually referring to. Because when you talk to them, like when you tell them something spiritual, mm-hmm. they don't ask you questions because they want to know.
Yeah,
they ask you questions
because they want to destroy it.
They want to create an argument. So such people, you should have an open mind. However, you must be very, very guided. You should not engage in vain arguments, and you know, because you wish yourself even breaking the commandments from there, you know, engaging and indulging. So you have to avoid such people. You understand? Yeah. So Matthew chapter 7 verse 6, it says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces."
Yeah.
Now, this was what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 7 verse 6. But he now exemplified it. He gave us an example. When Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He didn't answer him. Jesus said, "Is that what they told you? Or are you saying it because maybe there's something you have seen?" You know, he refused to answer him yes or no, because he thought, of what use will he be if I answer this man? If I answer him yes, he'll use it against me. If I say no, he'll use it against me. So of what use? Whatever the man thinks in his head, let him hold it. So he's giving us an example there. Why should I answer? So it's not every question that is actually thrown at me that I answer. Because I will look at, is this person willing to understand? Or is this person actually asking because it is already in his mind to destroy things? You get so. For this kind of question that is being asked, it is important that we shed light on it with the help of the Holy Spirit, because without grace, you cannot really understand this thing. Now, the person says, if the person is actually modifying and giving us his own verse, I don't know from where he got it from. You know, if God so loved the world, he will not send Satan, his own enemy, into the world. He is twisting what the Bible said. Wake up and stop believing senseless lies. Okay. With the help of God, I will say, God loves us. God has always loved us. Mm-hmm. And it was because of this love that he gave man the authority over the earth.
He gave man authority over the world and everything that is in it. And he gave man this authority. There is something I want to say. Maybe it may sound a bit controversial, but let me just say. Are you aware that it is only man that has the ability to enter into the spirit realm and still affect the physical? Are you aware?
Well, that's a bummer.
That's it. Because a man can ascend and tap into spirituality, and he can still come and cut down the tree if he wishes. But for a spirit to do this, he needs a physical body. He needs a
to find expression. So, true.
Yes,
he needs a body to find expression.
For God to come down to this earth, he needed a human body. So he came in the body of Jesus. You are, imagine God coming down in his glory and everything to come and save us. Just imagine it.
Yeah, true.
So that's actually deep. That's actually deep.
As a subset to that, this thing we are talking about and things that people can do and cannot do on the earth. So, Satan controls the world.
Of course, we are aware.
So, I want to know, where is Satan exactly in this world? Where exactly is Satan?
In this physical world, this world we are in is multidimensional. The spirit realm. Let me give you an answer from what Jesus said to Nicodemus.
Okay, get the verse. Meanwhile, guys, remember, you can always send in your questions and your comments to whatever that was said. If you feel very, very strongly unconvinced or strongly against the points that any of us have made, please do put in writing and we'll reach out to you as soon as we can see the messages. So, yeah.
According to John chapter 3, verse 8, I'm going to read from the New International Version.
Yeah.
The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. Yeah. So it is with everyone born of the spirit. You know, one of the characteristics of a spirit is that you cannot tell particularly where it is because it is a spirit.
Before you continue, Gabriel, the question that was asked is, where is Satan? Since we said he's ruling the world, where? From where? Where is he operating? Where is his office? You understand? So he's telling us where he thinks he is. So Mr. Silas, you can continue.
Like I was saying, you can't contain spirits. Like, you cannot the way you put water in a cup
and it stays.
Spirits are like wind, you know. They cannot just be in, how would I put it? You cannot just point and say this is where it is. But I can assure you that the devil, just like every other spirit, communicates with us almost every time. Believe me, he's very fast because he's a spirit. And the spirit of God also communicates with us every time.
Okay.
And I believe that when Noah, if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it was talking about faith. He said that Noah was moved by faith to build an ark. So you may think, to me, one will say, God came down from heaven and made Noah and told him to build an ark. I will tell you no. And I will tell you that this was how it happened. The spirit of God actually speaks to us. Spirits communicate with human beings through ideas.
Okay.
That's how all spirits communicate. So they actually need a body to express. I spoke earlier about something and I said it was deep. This is also one of the deep things that I would not really like to go into because it was so that to avoid controversy.
Okay. But
believe me, spirits communicate to each and every one of us through ideas. You know, through ideas. So let me give you an example. Okay, let's assume someone, Mr. A, slaps Mr. B. It is in the natural design of Mr. B to react in a defensive manner because his life is being threatened as per survival mode. However, there is a spirit in Mr. B. So this spirit may decide whether to execute the human nature or to not execute it. Are you with me? So if Mr. B reacts and slaps Mr. A back as a revenge, one would easily say, Mr. B has allowed the devil to use him. However, there are instances where Mr. B can just sit down like this on his own. Nobody touch him, nobody slap him, nothing. And Mr. B will just hear something like, look at that house. What do you think will happen if you burn it down? Nobody is hearing this voice. Only Mr. B is hearing this voice. And it comes to him in the form of an idea. So he's like, okay, if I put fire to this house, it's going to fall down. This is going to happen, that's going to happen. So this, there are spirits that actually want to bring about effect in this physical world, but they may not be able to bring it out. So they need a body to exist.
Body to find expression.
So everybody has a spirit. So the spirit can come and meet a person now and ask the person's spirit, can come and take permission from that person's spirit. I want to destroy the whole world, but I cannot do it.
So I will need your body for some time to achieve it. And then the person's spirit will agree. And then that spirit will come into him and the man becomes possessed. So the man begins to carry out.
Exactly. That reminds me from what he said. Yes. Very important. The person agrees. For a spirit to take over, you have to give it some sort of permission, because it is from the beginning. It has been always your choice. It doesn't just come automatically, even without your knowing. You have to allow it. So you can continue. I just wanted to highlight that fact.
Yeah. And coming to the point of agreement, you may not really agree by saying, yes, I agree. You may agree by, for instance, someone who smokes now. Someone who doesn't smoke. I don't know the sicknesses that people who smoke get. But someone who doesn't smoke will not get that particular sickness which is caused by smoking. Do you understand?
Okay.
Good. So let's assume the disease that is caused by smoking is going to come upon someone. The person now smoking is also a form of agreement. So you do not need to say yes. But there are certain things you do that allow certain kind of spirits to take over you, even without them asking you for permission. So you become a lawful captive. Just by your actions alone.
By the actions of your forefathers. Just like the actions like of Adam.
So if you are someone who you easily get angry, you don't control your anger, you don't even make effort to control your anger. One spirit can come into you one day and you kill someone. And immediately you kill the person, the spirit will leave. And you begin to wonder how you even got where you are. But it's because you have already given the spirit permission indirectly. So let me give you another example. You see the cars that we have. You see all these beautiful cars we have. Let's say the first car that was ever created, a spirit would come, meet the person and be like, the spirit would be like, I have an idea on how to make you move very fast from here to China within hours in a day. And the person is just sitting down and this idea will come to him. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying.
I'm getting what you're saying.
I'm still going to come down to the question you have. So the spirit will come and be like, I can make you move from here to a certain place within a very short distance of time.
It has found a loophole. It has found something to leverage on.
But I cannot really. That's the man's interest. The man is always wondering, how can I move from here to there? How can I move from here to there? So the spirit will come and tell him, this question you've been asking since I've come with an answer. Now this is how you will go about it. But before you will do it, you have to give me the permission to enter your body, and then I will give you an example. So the man agrees. So the spirit comes into him. Then the spirit will teach him how to do that thing. So when the man does it, the spirit will leave. But now, take note, this man has already learned how to do this thing. So the more the man continues to do it, to continue to come back to him. So the spirit will come back and say, okay, from where you stood the last time, this is what to do. So eventually that man will become a portal. Do you understand?
Yeah.
The man will become an access to that particular spirit, to this physical world.
To find expression in the world.
If you give your life to Christ and you genuinely begin to serve God, you begin to worship him, you begin to pray, you begin to fast, you begin to, you are doing things that will make the Holy Spirit be able to
find the expression,
express itself to this physical world through you. So when you tap into the Holy Spirit, you will now become a portal to the Holy Spirit. So whenever the Holy Spirit wants to perform an assignment, let me give you an example. You remember that Peter was praying and Peter saw everything that while he was praying, a vision came to him and showing him clean and unclean. It was God that was showing him beforehand. So Peter became a portal through which the Spirit of God could find expression to go out and operate in this physical world. The same thing, if you are someone who has this love for a particular, there are spirits who want to do business in this world. They will access you, they will come to you, and they will use you. If they use you the first time, they succeed, they will come again, they will use you. The moment they use you, over time, you will become a portal through the fine expression. So spirits are everywhere. So the devil is everywhere.
Because he has a lot of portals that he can use to get anywhere he wants to.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, just a bit, to cut me off a bit to carry Gabriel along. I don't know, Gabriel, do you have anything to say to that?
The question was that where is Satan?
Yeah, where exactly is he?
Exactly is he now. Okay, the part of the scripture that revealed where Satan is in the book of Job. God was so intentional to ask Satan, where are you coming from?
Yes.
Not because that God doesn't know.
Not because God doesn't know. Yeah. He was, yes.
But just that the question was asked so that we may know. It's for our own good.
Yes.
For our own good, my brother.
Yes, it's true. It's for our own good. Yeah, it's for our own good.
If God didn't ask that question, you will not be aware that Satan actually
had something where he was coming from.
We will not know that he's even doing any work. We think he's just quiet.
So from there, you will realize that the fact that the response that Satan gave to him showed us that there's only one person that has the ability to be in a spot, but the person is everywhere. Satan is not everywhere.
So, that's God. God has the ability to be everywhere.
Yeah. So that's why they call it the
omnipresence.
Omnipresence. He's everywhere at the same time.
Unfortunately, God has a way of manifesting his presence. One, God is everywhere. God also, that's the same God that's everywhere. Then God also has a particular spot where he's operating, known as God's manifesting. That's why you can say that there's a difference between the different.
Very well.
The same place, the same God that also in manifest presence can also be known as the indwelling presence. You see now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God is everywhere. God is also in a particular spot.
Yeah.
God also is in a man. That's why the Bible said that we are. Do you not know that you're the temple of God? Do you not know that you're the temple of God? And the idea of the temple is to accommodate and to inhabit his spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. That is why you can say that you carry God on your inside. All right. Because God wears you. That is the indwelling presence of God. Now, from that question, God asked Satan. The idea is to show us that Satan is not everywhere. So, where is Satan?
Yeah.
Satan is limited. He's moving from one place to another.
One place to another.
He's restless. That's nature. That's his nature. He's not resting anywhere. He's restless and he's limited in knowledge.
Let me assist you here. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it."
The guy is restless. He was designed, from Satan fell, he became restless. So he's now moving from one spot to another. That shows that Satan is limited.
Yeah, he's limited.
He's full of limitations. He doesn't know everything and he is not in every place at the same time.
Yeah, so, he has demons. So what
Satan is trying to accomplish is to mimic God in order to make it look like he's everywhere. Is that you will never see in the scripture that Satan, God ever acknowledged Satan as a foolish being. You will never see. Satan is not a fool. So you will never see.
That's the very, the way you said it now sounds like saying Satan can be anything, but he's definitely not a fool.
Not a fool.
That's one thing he's not. Man can be foolish for not Satan.
Yes. That guy can be very, very, that guy is very smart in
his craft.
Evil. And look at, from the nature when God died, the Bible said that he was perfect in wisdom. That is in the original setting of Lucifer. He was perfect in wisdom. Then when he fell from that position, he became perfect in craftiness.
Deep.
Are you with me? Yeah, so if you want to understand what craftiness or deception is in its full form, then look at Satan. He's perfect. That is the opposite of wisdom, deception, craftiness. Satan doesn't have a place. So what he did now is to make life easy for himself, he now decided to build organograms, a hierarchy. That happens to be now where you begin to hear things like the principalities, their powers, the ruler, and the spiritual wickedness in the hierarchies of different spirits that are under the managerial position of Satan. Satan is the one managing them, and all they do is to give him reports and give him feedbacks. So he's moving around receiving reports. Where you are right now, there's a demon in charge of that territory. If you leave that environment, that demon will not leave that territory because that territory is assigned to him.
True.
Yeah. Yes. But what it does is, the moment you engage another new environment, the demon will pass
your file,
that next demon, to update him.
Your dossier.
You get it? So, Satan is limited in knowledge, but he has sense to build network structure to ensure that he's being updated every time. So, that is another way of trying to make himself as the all-knowing, that he's trying to make as the omnipresence. When he's not actually an omnipresent, everything God does, he's trying to do, but he doesn't have the ability to mimic. That is actually one aspect of God that shows how foolish Satan can be. Because we have only one omnipresent, we have only one omniscience, we have only one omnipotent, and it's only one person. What Satan does is to copy and paste.
Yeah.
Actually, is why God asked that question is for our own good, so that we will not be shaking. That guy's
limited.
And
you understand the limitation.
You understand that limitation. Because of that limitation, you realize that the Bible is filled with miscalculation of devils. A lot of miscalculation. That's why you see that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 7 or 8 or 9, the scripture says that if Satan was aware, the prince of this world was aware that killing Jesus is part of the plan, he wouldn't have killed Jesus.
Yes.
He would have allowed Jesus to grow. Everything.
True. He doesn't know everything. It was a miscalculation. It was an error on his own part.
You get the point?
Yes.
So the word allow means to give permission, to permit. Alright? This is a word that is attached to the power of choice.
Yeah.
What God does, God will never enforce himself, force his decision on a man. But he will always advise him.
Yes.
He will never impose himself or decision on a man. But he will always advise a man. He will always have, one of the ways he expresses his love is that he will give a man a tip ahead of time.
True, true.
Sorry, please, Mr. Gabriel, let me cut you. Sorry. I'll be very fast. You see, if you check the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it's talked about when Noah, I'm talking about Noah again, because Noah, his story is very, we are very confident with his story. You know, just like you have explained, God did not come down in human form to tell him, go and build an ark, a flood is going to come. It came to him like just an idea. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. An idea.
Yeah,
came to me in form of an idea. So it was by faith that Noah accepted. You understand? It was by faith that Noah accepted that idea. Noah could have rejected the idea. He could have said, no, I will not do this thing. But he went ahead to do it. So that's the law of the God is not forcing and saying, no, you must be that. But God gave him an instruction in the form of an idea, and he obliged, he obeyed, and we are benefiting to the fish. And go on, sorry.
Just like I was saying before, that everything God designed, God always subject them to trial. Okay? He allowed those things to make their choice.
Yes.
For example, now, when he created the man, just like I was explaining, the one of spirits, when he created the spirits, you know, when he created the heavens. The heavens was the home of spirits. Okay? But that's what he first achieved. He first of all created the heavens. And that is a place where spirits are meant to domicile. Then he now created the earth. That is where man was designed to be. You know, to occupy. And every single being he created was a direct reflection, gave every one of them his soul. God has his soul, I hope you know.
Yeah.
So the thing he did was to give them soul. And in that soul is where the power of choice have been expressed. That is why God is so, one of the ways God expresses love is by giving every single being a soul. And in that soul, that is where you can find the will, the mind, the emotion. That is where the beings are free to think. For example, now, if you remember when Angel Gabriel was sent to Zacharias, okay, the same question that passed to Zacharias was the same question that Gabriel also passed to Mother Mary, okay?
Mm-hmm,
now, on the two different accounts, did God send Gabriel right now to go and make Zacharias dumb?
No.
That was not part of the plan.
If you realize, Gabriel exercised his will by his own authority.
Yeah.
That's why I said, I am Gabriel. From there, he now exercises authority. That means, in this case, God did not ask me to make you dumb. I'm exercising authority here.
It was not part of the plan.
It was not part of the plan. Yeah.
But you know that he actually has a right. He was exercising his rights as someone. In short, that thing he was not doing was not against God's will. Do you know?
Yes, it was part of God's plan. God's will. So it was in God's will.
The throne of God, is governed with a lot of protocols, all right? And there are a lot of laws that governs, and it was God that put those laws, and God is also subjected to that law. I think God is also bounded by his own word. That's why you hear such a word in this Bible, that God is bounded by his own word. He plays the law, he's also bound by it, all right? One thing with these spirit beings is that they understand the law that governs hell. They understand the law that governs the throne of God. Now,
even better than us human beings.
Yes, even the demons know. Even the demons know this. They understand the laws, and that's why when they want to make you fall, they try to make you go against
the laws. They bring you out.
Yes, and that's why when Satan came to Jesus, he tried to make Jesus go against the law. But every time he tried to make Jesus go against the law, Jesus now remind him of the law. He said, if you know you are the Son of God, why not jump down from this place? And I will give you a Jesus to you. You will not test the Lord thy God. It is written, you shall not tell them, test the Lord thy God. So you see, he was trying to make go against the law that we shouldn't test God. So if Jesus had gone against that, you know the rest of the story.
Because it's all stone. Yeah, it's stone. Say, turn this stone into bread. Say, man shall not live by bread alone. It is a law. It is a law. But you see, many people are chasing the bread alone now. That's
my brother. That was another case for another day. Now, when God created man, man was actually under a probation period. Yeah. And we don't know how many years it took man to remain under the probation period. The day the man is going to leave out from that probation period was the day they decided to exercise their will in choosing which trees. God that's why God intentionally have to put those two trees, the tree of life and the tree with the knowledge of good and evil, right? Now the question is, why did God put those two trees?
Try man.
Good time. Good question. Very good.
Try man. Yeah, I would say, just like you said earlier, man is subjected to trial. So he was actually subjected to that trial of, if he obeys, it means he truly loves God. But if he doesn't obey, it means he doesn't love God. So it was just like a means for God to test man to see if man truly loves him. He will not force man. You know, when you make a car, won't you test it?
Yeah.
When you make something, won't you test it?
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, so I would like to see it as a way that God was trying to test the will of man. You know, God created man and gave him will, so God was trying to test and see if truly the will he gave him is working. That's so it's just a joke from
me. Landed us where we are today.
When Satan was casted out from heaven, Satan came down on his own in respect, not that God sent him, because the word sent means to be given a particular in a given environment.
You have given it.
So this one is an authorization, all right? So he was not authorized. He was not sent by God. He came down on his own. Do you know that why he arrived on the earth? What God does is that God still made Satan part of his plan. Now, how? Why would God plant the tree of knowledge of good and evil if there's no Satan there? Because he knows that Satan is going to be there to convince and encourage. He made Satan. He allowed. He permitted.
It's now an evil reasoning. If Satan was never in the picture, we wouldn't be where we are today, actually.
Good.
Yeah.
Is it coming clear right now?
Yes, it is. If Satan was never in the picture, we wouldn't be where we are, because that lady wouldn't have eaten the apple. You know that?
Yeah, but there would have been no real test. Satan was the only one that was that capable of testing man.
Mm-hmm. So the story would not be complete if Satan was not dead. The story would not be found.
Yeah.
And for the fact God is still the all-knowing God. God is still the all-knowing. It's aware that man is still going to make mistakes and he shall also do it. And that is why before the creation of the world, he has already started preparing an alternative of killing the lamb ahead of time. You get the point? So now that is where the book of Revelation begins to remain. The book of Revelation reveals the things that happen in eternity, in time, and things that are going to happen in the future. So God still allows Satan in our time, operating in our time. And what is happening right now is that, just like my dad was communicating, how now Satan is leveraging or walking with us, walking around us. Okay, let me just say this few things now. Man, in his nature, possesses a spirit, possesses a soul, possesses a body. That's what makes man, okay? Now, what does what makes man? The spirit, the soul, the body. Now, the spirit is meant to occupy. The spirit is like a room flat. That's one room. It's always meant to be occupied by a spirit. Not
by a spirit.
But by a spirit. I'll show you in the scripture. The soul is a compartment and different rooms. Now, the soul can be occupied by many spirits.
Wow.
For example, you remember the madman of Gadara that introduced himself
to
Legion? Now, you realize that when he introduced himself as Legion, what does Legion mean? Legion means a thousands, I think 12,000 of spirits. Where do you think 12,000 of spirits is occupied? You get the point. The 12,000 of spirits, they are occupying his soul. But out of the 12,000, one of the spirit was the one that was talking. That one that was talking is the one that is the spirit that is in charge of all the spirits. That
he was speaking on behalf of. He was speaking on behalf of. You say we are many.
Yes, there are many. Now that spirit, where do you think he was occupying? He was occupying the spirit of him. Why the rest of the demons or whatever are occupying the souls of the man? Now that is why we talk about demonic possession is different from demonization. Okay, a believer cannot be possessed, but
demonization would be a topic for another day. Being demons, another day we're going to treat that as a topic of it on its own. Demons, what actually did to their origin? And
I would also suggest that we should have a topic on the spirit, the body, and the soul, because I think I have an idea that is quite different from the one our brother Gabriel has.
Okay,
but we are still in line. Yeah,
we'll be looking forward to that, because actually, why it's very important for us to discuss that is because anyone that wants to really hear the voice, you must understand what he is at the moment, because what man is different from who man is. So you need to understand the nature of man. I need to understand the complexity of man. And the scripture has made it very clear, so much about man. He exposes, and I will show you in the scripture, the compartment of man and how they were expressing themselves in the scripture. Okay, so now, in my conclusion right now, what I want to say now in summary is that Satan is not everywhere, but what he does is that he hangs around. And the way he hangs around is that he has a way of using our mind. Mind is the central point of man. And that's why when you realize of Christ, what happens is that your spirit is recreated, but your mind remains untouched. That's why I love to say that, therefore, you have to start undergoing what we call mind renewment. Mind
renewal of mind.
So,
renewal now, of mind.
So, the thing is that your spirit is the pathway by which you relate with the spirit world, and your body is the pathway by which you relate with the natural world. Now, and this, our body possesses what we call the five sense organ. The sense organ happens to be the pathway which man expresses their desires, all right? That's what we talk about. Yeah. The flesh. Flesh has to do with the feelings, and we talk about the eyes, talk about the entrance to the soul, to the pride. These are the three things that make up the flesh of a man. The flesh, we talk about the flesh. These are three things that we talk about, the eye, feelings.
The pride flesh. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life.
What's flesh is to Satan is what your spirit is to God.
Yeah.
All right. And that is why Satan always leverages on your flesh, your desires. All right.
Yeah.
So if Satan realizes that you like football, he will leverage on that football to keep you there for a long time, giving you enough reasons why you should remain on football, why you should not go and read your Bible.
True.
And that is why in the New Testament you realize that there are two places that you sow. See, that they that sow in the flesh are they that sow in the spirit. They that sow in the flesh will reap death, and those that sow in the spirit shall reap life, righteousness. Okay. So you realize there are two places you sow, and that happens to be either in your flesh or in your spirit.
That's right.
And so that means your flesh is a pathway by which Satan can find the expression. Satan leverages on your flesh in order to manifest himself. So that means if you're a man that give attention to too much of your Adamic nature, of what your body wants, then automatically you become a tool in the hand of Satan. But if you're a man that desires to spend, to feed your spirit, by engaging your spirit, then automatically become a tool in the hand of God. And the other thing is, the center point of everything is the mind. That's why the Bible says casting down imaginations, the thoughts, reasonings, and all kinds of stuff. You realize that the battlefield is in the mind. First of all, Satan has to engage your mind. My people perish because they lack a particular form of knowledge, which is knowledge of God, but the knowledge of God. This knowledge of God is not essential knowledge, but first of all, it has to be essential. It must come to an understanding before you now begin to encounter the life. Accompany the knowledge of God's world. So Satan will ensure that he will suggest a lot, he will give a lot of suggestions. As first of all, he will come to your mind, suggest a lot of things to you. And those suggestions is now in your flesh. You come like an idea, it can come like a thought, it can come like an imagination, it can come with as a form of anything that has to do with the mind. And that's where it is, when your mind begins to engage your feelings, and from your feelings now you begin to exercise them through your will, because your will is the place of decision making. You now decide whether you should engage your mind. That's why when we talk about the sinful nature. Sinful nature is different from sin commission, all right? Committing sin. There are two different things. We're talking about sinful nature. And the committing of sin. What am I trying to say? That sinful nature is sin in a man that is suggesting to man a particular form of sin. That is why if you realize that fact, who taught you how to lie when you grow up?
Which school? No, it's in your nature.
It was in your nature. It was embedded in your nature already. But for the fact that you know that you can be thinking of lying, but at the end you may not end up exercising that lie. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Many times you said temptation have come to you to misbehave, but you ended up not exercising it. Thing came in your mind strongly. Wanted to commit, you not commit. Get points. So that's why the thought of it may come. That's what the sinful nature is suggesting to you, and that is what through the flesh he keeps suggesting to you. He will suggest things to you through your mind, giving you enough reasons why you should give attention to it. Remember, whatever you give attention to, much more becomes more alive.
Yeah, because your leader. God's work controls you.
So Satan will bring a thought to you, and if you begin to nurse that thought, begin to nurse it, a day will come, you open a door for the spirit into it. That's how it becomes a stronghold. At that moment, you have lost your authority. That's why some people will tell you that they started lying small, and out of their will, they can choose to lie anytime they want. But a day came when they do not know that why they are lying small, they opened a door for the spirit, and that spirit came into, then I'm occupied. That's why it's about demonization. It didn't become a stronghold. They now lost their will. They now lost. They cannot lie, not because they wanted to lie. It's not out of their control. The spirit is not dictating for them when to lie and when not to. But it will start, first of all, as an idea. Satan will plant it as an idea. Then you now begin to nurse on it. That's why God also is trying to bring to our mind that you should mind what you spend your time thinking.
Yeah.
He said, love the Lord with all your mind. Love the Lord with all your mind. Love the Lord with all your mind. That means you have to be very, very intentional. Now, love is not feelings, even though it can be expressed as feelings. Okay? Love is not thoughtless. Love is not blind. Okay? Now, what is love? We need to understand from the original aspect. You know, when we want to understand the word love, we need to make it from where the word was coming from. And it is derived from the Greek word. Okay? But when I want to aspect that, love is something that is expressed by will. It is not expressed by emotion. It's not expressed through your intellect. It is expressed by will. That is why if you switch First Corinthians and said, why we are yet sinners, he loved us. Now, what are they trying to say? That he loved us even though that we are still
sinners.
That means, look at the nature of a sinner here. He doesn't give a damn whether whatever you're doing is reasonable at all or not. You are dying for people who don't care about you. You are trying to waste your life on people that you doesn't even know the worth. They don't even value what you're doing. They don't even give it. He came to his own people and they rejected him. He even killed him. The person that came to save them, they came to the people. He still loved them. So you realize that the love here is not emotion. If by emotion, that one don't finish, you know, go down again. But it is a will. He made the decision. Love is not something that is born out of feeling, because if it's a feeling, it will evaporate. That's why in First Corinthians chapter 13, the way one of the laws is, you see that love is kind. What does it mean? Well, even when you don't receive kindness, you continue to give kindness. Who does that to his righteousness?
Yeah, it's not finished.
Love is patient. Even when the people are, that you are patient for someone doesn't mean that you receive patience from the person.
True.
That, but he told you, he said, still be patient. Okay, Matthew chapter 5 also revealed the nature of the love. He said that love your enemy, pray for them. Those that want to kill you, he said, keep praying for them, keep loving them.
Gabriel, we have to round up because we treat the issue of love and the structure of man, soul, spirit, and flesh in another episode. But for now, we just conclude on the answer of where devil is that he's moving, he has a structure set up, he has people that he uses as portals to find expression in the things he wants to, you know, task. Or things that he wants to do, or the destructions that he wants to lay waste in, because definitely there is no constructive task he's after. It's all about destruction. And even if it's constructive in the beginning, the end is destruction. And that's how he operates. And for those of you who think there's an office somewhere, you know, where he sits down and, you know, stays and sleeps, like you saw in the movie Lucifer, that's not how he operates. He operates through human beings, through portals and things.
One of the ways to stop Satan from using you as a believer is by continual dying to flesh. And that's why Jesus gave us the option to continue denying self, carry your cross and follow him. That's the only way to deny
Satan.
The place God said, give him no room. So he's moving up and down, searching for an opportunity, looking for a room where a man can be carelessly, thoughtlessly, and legally created for him. He's looking for a room where a man can just open it for him, just like that for him. Once he gets a room, he wants to take over the whole stuff. That's what he came to do. So we are listeners, need to watch out. That's why Jesus said, don't just pray, but also watch. Learn to watch. What are you watching? One of the ways to watch is by guarding your heart. Guard your all diligence. That because you need to know things that are still alive, the aspect of your flesh that is still alive, because Satan leverages on your flesh and use it against you in order to fulfill his assignment. So everyone should watch out for every weaknesses in his life. Watch out and cry out to God and keep denying self. Keep denying an expression of the flesh so that Satan will not see us as a tool to find expression. So finally, God did not send Satan to us. He came down on his own. Even though he came down on his own, God still leveraged on his availability to still fulfill his great purpose. If there was no Satan, life would not be so sweet, creative.
Hey, did not be so interesting. Anyway, that's it for this episode. We'll see you guys in the next. Thank you for your time and listening. Until then, stay strong, vigilant, and stay blessed. See you guys in the next episode. All right. Bye. Goodbye, Gabriel. Bye.